Hello and welcome to another episode of Face to Face. Today we're joined by prominent Bahraini human rights activist Neda Al-Salman. Neda, welcome to the show. Now, I met you 6 months ago in Bahrain under some very tough conditions. So tell me, what is the situation like there now?
The situation is worse now. As you know, you met Sheikh Ali Salman and you met Nabeel Rajab. Both of them now is behind bars. So that's a proof that the situation is worsened. More prisoners, jailed protesters or children have been jailed for the past. And in a weekly basis, we have like 10 or 15 arrests. Sometimes it's more, it depends on the situation. If you wanna know the situation in Bahrain, just ask, where are the human rights defenders? Where are the bloggers? Where are the photographers? All behind bars. Human rights defender, either behind bars or forced to exile. During the Formula One, for example, in the week of the Formula One, we had nearly 50, one week, more than 50 arrests in 1 week. That is the situation in Bahrain.
Now, while I was out there, I interviewed Sheikh Ali Salman and human rights activist Nabeel Rajab, both of whom are now behind bars. Why have they been targeted?
Sheikh Ali Salman is a reformer. He was charged for, in the beginning, claims that he was trying to overthrow the regime. Later on, it was reduced or it was removed, and it was spreading hatred during some of the events and in his speech between the Shias against the Sunnis. And this was not, in all his speeches, if you listen to it, all the speeches, he asked us to be equal together, to try to be closer together. All his speeches, he's really a moderate and he is really a reformer. Nabeel Rajab as well, he was charged for a tweet for 6 months. He's in jail now. And during the last, before 6 months, he was outside. Some of others who, to show how bad is the situation, more revoking nationality started.
Now, Sheikh Ali Salman has recently been sentenced. What message are they trying to send out?
The message is to silence the people, to silence people who are influential. The message is for Sheikh Ali Salman, because Sheikh Ali Salman became very influential, really influential in Bahrain, and influential in the world. I mean, if you see all international organizations spoke about Sheikh Ali Salman, all United Nations, Human Rights Council, or arbitrary detention, everybody spoke about Sheikh Ali Salman. His subject was brought up in lots of reports. Even the U.S. Yesterday, they published a report and they spoke about Sheikh Ali Salman. He became very influential, and that frightened the regime. Anybody who becomes so influential, they want to silence him. It's the same as Nabeel Rajab. Nabeel Rajab is very influential, and this is the way. It is a message that to the Al-Wufaq as well, to Al-Wufaq, that because Al-Wufaq stood against the election last year, and it is a message that they have to obey, let's say.
Now, following the arrest of these two very prominent figures, do you think Bahrain's Western allies have done enough to address the issue with the Bahraini authorities?
The United States wrote about Sheikh Ali Salman and called for his release a few times. The UN has spoken to about the release. Britain also called for the release of Ali Salman, but they didn't do enough, because especially meeting with the British, and I know that they had met a lot with Al-Wufaq, a political society, and they had and they know very well that Al-Wufaq is a very reformer society, so they didn't do enough, because they are on the ground. I'm talking about the Britain British underground, they know very well that Al-Wafaq is a moderate and they know that they are a reformer. They didn't know what we expect from them.
Do we know anything about the conditions in which Sheikh Ali Salman and Nabil Rajab are being kept in?
What they're facing, Sheikh Ali Salman, I believe, with a person like Sheikh Ali Salman or Nabil Rajab, they will be treated very well. That is the fact, because they know that they are very influential and their voice can reach the world. So they will be treated very well. They will not be tortured for sure, especially after what happened in 2011 and how all this torture reached the world. So I'm sure these two figures, they are very influential internationally. They will not be treated badly. But after all, they are still in jail.
Now, you recently spoke about torture in Bahraini prisons at the UN. Tell us, what kind of conditions are the inmates kept in?
Jail prison situation is really, they are facing a horrible situation at the moment. There was claims of torture. We had hundreds of calls. People, they used to call Bahrain Center for Human Rights because their family member has been tortured. We had photos which was sent to us from mobiles, which was in jail prison, which shows the torture cases. And that's why they came, and after these photos were spread in Bahrain, they attacked all the prisoners searching for the camera and they started torturing them more. So the situation was really bad because some a problem occurred in jail prison, and instead of the in jail prison, because it's overcrowded, so some of the prisoners tried to ask that they needed more space, and they needed some of them, they're sleeping on the floor as well. And that's why they were claiming that we need to have a better situation, better, and they didn't want to be overcrowded. They needed medical care, lots of them. So there was a protest inside jail prison, sort of mini protest that they were calling for the right. But the reply came from the unfortunately, in jail prison, from the officers or mercenaries or whatever, they had them inside jail and they started torturing them. There was very big issues of torture. We have even Naji Fatil, who has been in, before March, till now, he didn't even, his family member didn't meet him, and they're worried about him because he's one of the cases who took photos of the torture. Bahrain is a very small country. We are really 1 million. We are, the population is only 1,200,000. This is with the foreigners, with expats who's living in Bahrain. To have 3,000, you know that we are the highest in Middle East. If you go to prisonstudy.org, you will see that Bahrain is the highest in the Middle East, because as per capita, we are the highest. I speak to some people and they say it's only 3,000, but when it comes to the population in Bahrain, it's a huge, huge number. And the jail really doesn't take this number. They started building more prisons, more jails now, but when they started, to be honest, I didn't become optimistic. I thought that means that they want to arrest more. That's the way I thought about it. The jail now in Bahrain is overcrowded, really overcrowded. People in jail, they sleep in the floor. We have footage which was taken from inside jail that you see in the corridor with mattresses, and this is a situation. They share one toilet for 10 or 20. And the situation is really, and they started having some disease, a skin disease in jail because of this crowd, and unfortunately they're not getting medical care for that.
Now, earlier this year, riots broke out in one of Bahrain's main prisons, Jaw. Can you tell us what happened there?
The problem started between a family member of one of the prisoners and a police officer, and after this problem started. I think they arrested her or detained her for a couple of days, I think. And this is how it started. The prisoner went on protesting inside jail, and that's how everything went wrong during that time. They were attacked inside while they were in prison by tear gas. And we have lots of evidence. If you see the reports of Bahrain Center for Human Rights, which was published in the website, you will see that some of the images which was sent to us by some of the prisoners shows the tear gas around their cells. And they were even with shotgun. They were hit with shotgun and they started attacking them. Later, when they came to know that the photos was sent from jail, they started attacking everybody and they tortured them. They took all the cameras. They started torturing everybody who had a mobile phone because they came to know that there was mobiles and that's how the photos went out to the public. In Bahrain, nobody's held accountable, unfortunately. I mean, if you go from BICI till now, there is nobody accountable for all the violation which is happening. Even during the ceremony, the king apologized from the people and he said that he will see who is in charge of this violation and will held accountable. But unfortunately, till now, we didn't see anybody accountable. In fact, some of them, they were giving positions. Some of the people which made the violations, they were given another position, which is higher positions. And that is the situation. It seems in Bahrain, the impunity is one of the main issues that if it continues, we will never have a safer Bahrain.
Various organizations have been set up by the government to implement reforms. What kind of role have they played?
The ombudsman was created by the government. The NIH, National Institute for Human Rights as well, was created. And we thought that we can work together with them. They might be, in the beginning, we thought it might be a good thing that to help us to make might be something good for the prisoners, at least, to file complaint if any prisoners file for us. At least we have somebody to go. But unfortunately, no. We were filing complaints. We were sending issues to them, but they never replied to us. They never. So we encouraged them, the families, to file complaint to the ombudsman, so that if they file a complaint to the ombudsman, at least they might take a look, because maybe they will not take it from us, but they will receive complaint from the families. We know that it was used as a PR for the government. It was used to show the world that we started having a national institute, we started having a ombudsman, but no. A national institute is not independent, and if something is not independent, if they are taking orders from the government, if they are following the orders of the government, and they're not receiving calls from people or receiving complaints from people, they will never be efficient, because they are not independent at all.
Now, child detention has also been a major issue in Bahrain. Has this been addressed by the authorities?
Children is a big issue in Bahrain, because they're being attacked in Bahrain. Just to silence the people calling for their rights, it's used against the family as well, to tell them that this is what will happen to your children, so stop calling for your rights. Children are the real victims in the situation. Because in Bahrain, we have over 400 children behind bars. This is what was reported to us. This is what we have directly. Because some families, they might not report that their children has been arrested, because they think that he might be released soon, or so they don't want us to bring his issue. These are the cases. Some of them, as young as nine will be detained for a few days, then they will be released. We have the youngest who was arrested and sentenced was 10 years of age. We have some age is 15 years and they've been sentenced to life in prison, as well as revoking a nationality. This is something which started again among the children. The children's situation as well inside jail, they will be deprived from education, they will not have any activity, they will be only in the cell. Apart from this, all children who has been jailed, they were deprived from their education. Last year, none of the children have been allowed to take exams, which is against any law, because they should be able to have their exam. It's a way that their future is gone. They don't have any future if they don't continue their education. And not even a single student was allowed to take exam last year.
What kind of torture have children in detention been exposed to?
We have children have been subjected to torture. We have lots of children who complain have been sexually harassed. And we have lots of children who showed their family during their visit with marks of torture in their bodies. We have cases of torture which have been filed as well to the ombudsman about torture, and alhamdulillah, the family received a letter from the ombudsman that they will investigate this issue. But later, when the ombudsman went and visited the child called his family and said, please next time don't complain on our, because he was tortured after the visit of the ombudsman.
Now, whilst I was in Bahrain, I witnessed a lot of force being used by the police. Has anything changed since?
Tear gas is used on daily basis and nightly basis. Whenever there is a gathering, a few people standing for protesting, few people just standing or marching, they will be hit by tear gas. Tear gas is used as, it's something which is used, this is nothing in Bahrain. Even shotgun is used for illegal gathering, as what they say. What you saw, it's not getting better. It might be getting worse. It might be getting worse because if it continued this way and still nobody, we had a few people who were killed. It is used, tear gas is used as a tool to kill people sometimes because it's not shooting from far distance. They shoot them directly. And we had few victims of tear gas.
Why are the Bahraini authorities able to get away with committing such atrocities?
We are victims of our location. We're the neighbor of a very influential country, and a very important country to the West. We are a victim because we have the U.S. Base in Bahrain. We are victim because of the interest, because of the oil. That's why the world is turning a blind eye about Bahrain. When it comes to Bahrain, they will never cover Bahrain. And they will try to think of their interest first before talking about Bahrain. All the evidence shows that Bahrain violated the human rights situation. All the evidence, everything. I mean, you have all the evidence written as well as documented, and I'm sure all these countries, all the West, they know very well that Bahrain violates the human rights situation, but the interest comes first.
Now, earlier this year, Britain's Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond made a comment saying that Bahrain is showing significant reform. What do you make of this statement?
Bahrain is my country, and I wish that there was a reform in this country, because this is what we aim to, this is what we are calling for. We need a reform in Bahrain, but we wish to see a reform. If he says that there is reform, we wish that he shows us evidence of the reform in Bahrain, because the situation today is worse than 2011. In 2011, whatever people called for, they didn't get it. In fact, they got the opposite. They got worse in cases. Prisoners are more now. people, they don't get jobs as they used to before. It's the same discrimination in jobs, the same in ministries. Everything is the same. In fact, the situation gets worse. For example, some areas, Bahrainis from Shia origin cannot occupy this area, cannot buy a land in this area. This wasn't before 2011. Rafah, for example, you cannot own a land in Rafah. This has been created after 2011. In any country, if this is existing, I would like to ask him a question. We wish if he shows us evidence of reforms in Bahrain. And is this the way he would like Britain to be?
Now, Saudi Arabia played quite a prominent role in 2011 when it came to suppressing the protests in Bahrain. Have they continued to play a role in Bahrain's internal affairs, in your opinion?
Saudi Arabia played a big role in Bahrain from 2011, since they used the troops to come and attack the protester. Even now, you might not see them, but they are influential in Bahrain because they don't want the change to happen in Bahrain. They are giving orders. They are the one who's giving orders to Bahrain government to continue attacking the human rights defender, to continue attacking, to continue arresting, to silence the people. Because Saudi Arabia know very well that if the change comes in Bahrain, the change will go to Saudi Arabia. And they know very well that we give strength to the Saudi activists, after all. The first protest in Saudi Arabia was in 2011 after Bahrain cracked down by Saudi army. They were not happy that the Saudi army entered Bahrain, and that was the strength we gave it to Saudi Arabia, to all the activists in Saudi Arabia. I believe that Saudi Arabia still play a big role in Bahrain. By any decision which is taken by Bahrain, it will be first take opinion of Saudi Arabia.
Now, as you said earlier, many human rights activists are now behind bars, but you've continued with your work. Do you ever fear for yourself?
I believe everybody fears for the safety. Everybody wants safety. Safety comes the first thing if you want. Safety is very important. Safety can make the change in Bahrain but do I feel safe in Bahrain as well? I don't feel safe. I don't want the situation to continue, so I have to be speaking about human rights violation. I want to see a better Bahrain because this is my country. This is what I dream of. I dream of a good Bahrain. I dream for a better Bahrain. And I think, I don't feel secure at all. I feel that I might be under attack anytime. But I have to continue. I trust that I have to continue.
Nedal, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for joining us. Sadly, we've run out of time. We'll see you next time on another episode of Face to Face.